one of the more renowned daddies that who has ever lived is John Davis Rockefeller. He was born in 1837, and he is also the richest daddy who ever lived. He was the richest person who ever lived. He was born in 1837, an oil magnate, an oil industry financier. But he said, always said, the secret of my success is my faith in Jesus Christ. He was raised in a home where his mother was a believer in God. His father was a con man. It was a conflict. You have the con man married to his mother who was a believer. But John D. Rockefeller grew up as a believer in Jesus Christ. His eventual net worth, extrapolated for today's dollars, was $412 billion. In contrast, the richest man's net worth today is Jeff Bezos of Amazon at $112 billion. So Rockefeller's wealth exceeded today's wealthiest man by four times. He always says, my success was my faith in my Lord. Of course, you won't find secular media making a big deal out of that because they don't like religion and they don't like the name Jesus. However, in the journey of success, how many of us know success can own us and ruin us if we're not careful? Or the pursuit of that success can ruin us if we're not careful? And the job we owned can subtly and gradually come to own us. In his early 40s to mid-40s, John Rockefeller began to have health problems. The stress of success and the pursuit of having to manage all of that was overcoming his life. His doctors told him, if you do not correct and recalibrate your priorities, you will die in the next few years. Well, he understood the Lord was trying to speak to him. So he worked less and began to serve in the church, interestingly. He loved to teach Sunday school and he loved to help with the janitorial work. This was the richest man on the planet who understood that Jesus said the greatest is he who serves. He divested a lot of his wealth towards missionary work, church planting, education, and medical science, among others. His donations, his philanthropic charitable donations, led to some of the cures that we know today. He's left a legacy of incredible faith, and he was a great father. Told he was going to possibly die when he was in his mid-40s because he recalibrated his life and made it more about relationships and less about success, position, and prosperity. At a day when the average age was living till 60, John D. Rockefeller lived till 2 months before his 98th birthday. This about a man who was told, if you don't correct your priorities, you're going to die before you're 50. Father, we pray today that you would help us to see that your word and scripture gives us the prescription for how to live life well. That it's not our pursuit of promotion. It's not our pursuit of possessions or prosperity. It's our pursuit of you because you made us. As a good father, you put us together to fulfill your purpose on the planet. And let our eyes see the goodness of God as we walk through this Father's Day message today. Amen. Jesus said this, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Therefore, he goes on, do not be anxious. or fearful or worrisome, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles, meaning unbelievers, seek all these things, and your heavenly Father know that you need them all. Jesus gives us the takeaway, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So what is Jesus saying? In Matthew chapter 6, he's talking about priorities that will give you a great life. But it's not the natural tendency of going after becoming popular or promotable or having much in money and possessions. He's saying, don't obsess over accumulating earthly wealth. Look at our American culture today. We're driven to have things, to make money, to climb the ladder of achievement. Jesus cautions. He cautions us. He was cautioning his disciples then. He was cautioning followers then. Don't obsess over earthly wealth. In other words, don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, because the thief will come in and steal. For John D. Rockefeller, the thief was the stress of the pursuit of success. But unlike many others, because he came back to Scripture and his faith and the values of God's Word, he made a radical, radical shift in his priorities. And he lived to see generations of his family grow up. And there's no father that loves to see that and experience that more than anything else. Rockefeller made that switch. We all know, when you look at America today, right? You look at the world. Everyone goes for the grand. We love the success. I look at Bruno Mars coming, and his assistant comes to our church. Did you know that? Everybody wants tickets to Bruno, the Papakulea kid. Amazing. But my thought when I think about Bruno Mars is, Bruno, remember, you're still that Papakulea kid. Success, if we're not careful, can ruin our health. Physically, in our soul, everything within us can shift and change. How many of us know that people that you once knew were humble were ruined in their pursuit of success? We all know people like that, right? You're different now. What happened? You changed. Jesus is saying, don't change, because aside from losing your health, you can lose your marriage, you can lose your family, and other relationships can be hindered. But there's the other obsession that he loves. He says, do obsess over accumulating eternal wealth. Maybe not earthly wealth, but obsess over accumulating eternal wealth. The great apostle Paul paraphrases the words of Jesus in 2 Corinthians. He says, whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please him, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. Paul is actually saying, and what Jesus teaches, one day we're going to all stand before a loving God. We're going to stand before him, and we're going to be rewarded at a judgment seat of rewards. The word judgment here in Scripture is not meant to be bad. It's the word bema seat, or an athletic stage where crowns are given out for two things: how we've lived by character and integrity on this planet, and what we've done with our ability. We forget that. And so Jesus is emphasizing, he says, be obsessed with that. This is probation and preparation for eternity. Who we are and how we live and how we use our time, talent, and treasure here one day will be evaluated and rewarded. God loves us equally. He gave his son Jesus to die for our sins, to pay the penalty for our sins, to cleanse us from our sins. So as a father in heaven, he loves us equally. I'm a father. I love all my children equally. There's no one that stands up above the other. Okay? But here's what God's word is teaching us. But there'll come a day, though, he won't reward us equally. He loves us equally, but he'll reward us proportionately based on how we've lived in character here by his grace, in obedience to his word, through his power, and he's going to reward us for how we've served others. Nothing that we've accumulated for ourselves, this is what he's talking about, Jesus is talking about here, will be recognized, remembered, or rewarded. In other words, Jesus is, he's ripping stuff apart in culture. He's saying, don't obsess over making life about you. Don't obsess over accumulating treasure for yourself. None of that will be worth anything in eternity. And when we stand before the Lord, none of us will be rewarded for the trophies we've accumulated for ourselves. The toys, the possessions. And so, I say obsession's a good word. The magnificent obsession, because we tend to be overcome by the temporal and we forget about the eternal. Everything we do here leads not to the end of life on the planet, but standing before God in heaven to come. And he says, be obsessed with that. Do obsess over accumulating eternal wealth, but don't obsess over accumulating earthly wealth. Wow. You know, as a dad, I'm concerned about my children and the life they'll have on the planet, my grandchildren, and so my wife and I take measures to help prepare them for the future. Because if we're not careful, all we see is being taken up with the now. The 10 flat screens, the 3 homes, the 2 cars, you know, keeping up with everybody, right? We say in America, keeping up with the Joneses, which won't matter much when we all stand before the Lord and our Heavenly Father, who put us together and put us on the planet. And one day we're going to stand before him. But understand, pursuing God's heart will produce God's treasure. That's my last point today. And then we can go eat kakimochi, Dad, and pick up your free carb-loaded snack as you leave. Pursuing God's heart will produce God's treasure, because God's not against treasure. He just wants you to have the right treasure. Right? Kalai and I, Pastor Kalai and I, right, the host and the pastor, working together to give you a positive spiritual experience. We don't drive Lexuses or BMWs. Not that that's a sin. Pastor Kathy right here drives a top-level Lexus. Right over here. I mean, every time I go into the parking lot, I go, whose Lexus is that? Wow! Because that's a mature, grown-up Toyota. We drive Camrys. Come on, brother. Give me a Camry-like hug. Yeah. Amen. Mine is better than his, but that's all right. His is more tricked up. I actually like his Camry better than mine. But you can go talk to him about that in the lobby after the service. Now, I have no idea why I said that. And like Frank Agwan in the video, who kept forgetting what he was saying, I didn't even plan that. That was like, it actually happened for real. You lose your balance as well as you lose your mind. Pursuing God's heart will produce God's treasure. By the way, I'm the senior pastor of the church. My name is Norman. I forgot to say that earlier. And I haven't been here in a while speaking, but it's going to be more regular from now. I promise you, and I'll get my balance back. Jesus said this, but seek first the kingdom of God. So he does say, here's what to seek. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Watch this. After Jesus says, don't seek that, don't seek this, but do seek this, and if you seek me and my righteousness, I'll give you things. Make up your mind. So it's not that the Lord doesn't want to bless us with possessions, with promotion, with things. He does. But he says, don't make that your goal. Here's how life is meant to be lived. Seek me and my kingdom. What does the word kingdom mean? It's a big word that means seek to extend my loving influence wherever you go. And then seek after my righteousness. Righteousness biblically is being in right standing with God, not by works, but through faith in Jesus. So seek to extend my influence and a righteous standard of always trusting in and believing in me and living by my power. And he says, if you make that your priority, ironically, I'll give you the thing that the world is running after as your reward pursuant to your purpose. You see this? You see the contradiction, tension? Okay? Now, he says all of his word, the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. The word neighbor literally means those in proximity or next to you. Whoever I place next to you in life, at work, at play, in community, in family. Whoever's regularly near you, I want you to love them. And in doing so, you fulfill my law and please my heart. All of this book can be summarized, Jesus says, by loving your neighbor. Who is it that God's put around you when you go to work on a regular basis? Or if you're coaching or your kids are playing sports, who is it that you're hanging out under the tent eating those snacks with? Don't ignore them. The Lord wants to extend his kingdom through you to them. And that's why he's put us on the planet. All of us have tremendous influence. Interestingly, he says, if you make me and that your priority, because that's why I put you on the planet, otherwise I just take you home. If after you confess me as your Lord and Savior and you come to secure your eternity, if I haven't left you on earth to extend me to others, I may as well kill you and bring you to heaven. So why are we on earth? To seek him, to establish his kingdom, expose his kingdom to others by loving them with the gospel. The good news of Christ. Here's the tension. Here's the contradiction. Up until 3 years ago, I watched a 27-inch Sony Trinitron television. Everybody already had flat screens of various sizes, and I had a 10-year-old DVD player attached to it. It took a lot of work to get those things to work. When my girls moved out, one of the bedrooms for my girls, a small 8x10, 9x12 bedroom was converted into a den where I have a little den, right? I had a little TV for this little man. And I was happy with that. In fact, I kind of took pride in the fact that I'm not conforming to all those big screen dudes. You don't need that. I used to say this, Sony Trinitrons. Look at that. This is the old school classic. In fact, I may as well go on eBay. Who knows? I may get rich one day if I keep this thing working. But as time went by, you know I'm a sports nerd, right? I love football and basketball. And I realized as I would go to other people's homes, I'm thinking, wow, no wonder people buy big screen TVs. Really, I'm always late to the game in most fashionable things. And I began to have this thought, you know, it would be good to upgrade. Not too long after that, in the mail came a big flat screen television. And I thought it was a mistake. Someone gave it to me and sent it to me as a gift. I didn't ask him for it. I didn't expect it. But you know the scripture that says, our Father knows what you have need of before you ask. Our Father was saying, Norman, you have need of a big flat screen TV. It's really true. And now that I have that, I go to Pastor Billy Lyle's house sometimes. You know, the guy who preached here, my son-in-law, last week. And he's got it seems like 100, I don't know, 70. And I look at that now, and I go home. I go, man, my flat screen sucks. It's too small. But everything's relative, right? And that's what happens in America. We forget where we've come from, and we want more and more and more. And then the Lord says, no, you want me, and you want me, and you want me. And if it's pursuant to his purpose, and you love others, then I'll give you more. But don't seek more, seek me. And that's the whole theology of what he's teaching here. In 2001, Bobby Ichikawa, who's here with me, with his family as a guest spot today on this Father's Day, Honolulu's best lawyers, they have this magazine, Honolulu Magazine, you get the best, the best, the best. And he was the best. And he continues to be the best. He continues to be among the finest attorneys. But you can be the best and in pursuit of something, and pretty soon what you thought was best is not most important. And so, I want you to meet, he normally goes to our Cityside site, Pearlside at Cityside. This is Bobby Ichikawa, and he'll team up with me for the next segment. You look exactly the same. You look exactly the same. Some trivial information on this Father's Day. Quick as a cat, an All-State baseball player back in the late 70s, early 80s. He graduated in 1980. He was a football player, played with Wendell Look, current coach of Iolani. He went to Iolani. Tremendous wide receiver for the Iolani teams that beat St. Louis. Punahou. Kamehameha, played for Coach Eddie Hamada. See, people look at you and go, he looks like him. Norman can't play anything. How is it that you can play everything? I have no idea. God gives gifts and abilities pursuant to your calling. You're called. You're called. You're already touching people's lives. Amazing things are happening just because you love people. But it wasn't always that way by the grace of God. You were devoted to your profession. Attorneys need to be, right, Bobby? And you work for one of the top law firms in the state of Hawaii. But something happened that changed your priorities and the way you viewed all of that. Talk to us about what happened.
Thank you for having me. And again, happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. For me, you know, it was just a matter of working hard, trying to do the best I can in my profession. And, you know, it was important to kind of keep working. But along the way, family was always important to me, but I didn't truly realize how important it was until kind of God forced me to face issues and really learn more about faith and what's really eternal, what's really important. And so in the fall of 2013, my oldest son Drew went to the University of Colorado at Boulder, contracted a virus and was sick for about a week, was admitted to ER. I flew up, went straight from the airport to campus or the hospital. And when I walked in, there he was on oxygen, and he couldn't walk. And he had contracted pneumonia by that time. And fortunately, and we were blessed that he was nursed back to health. And then later that year at Thanksgiving, my wife Grace and I found out she was diagnosed with breast cancer. And so she had to undergo surgery at the end of that year, went through radiation treatment in the spring. And, you know, we're blessed that she has beat cancer. It's been 4.5 years now. And later that fall, my younger son, Cole, had a sinus infection. I just came back from dropping off Drew in Colorado. The next day, basically, had to take Cole to emergency because he had this severe headaches. And it was a sinus infection that leaked towards his brain. And he had a brain abscess that was quite risky. And we prayed a lot. And Pastor Norman, UNFA, came to the hospital. And you know, we just prayed that that he'll be all right, because there was a point where it would have been pretty bad for him, terminal, or you know, surgery would have been really bad for him to be able to do things that were just normal.
We'll take a little pause, and it's emotional to this day for Bobby, because it was no one here can imagine in that short span of time the intensity of the possibility of loss. This is his family, just taken a few weeks ago, visiting where Pastor Evan Carmichael, our Hilo pastors, a friend of ours, Evan, and that's Bobby on the left. That's Drew, okay, the bigger guy. That's Cole, the one who had the the virus attacking his brain, and that's Bobby's wife, Grace, and you have to live this down a lot. We're saved by grace. We go to grace groups. This is Grace Bible Church. I do not know how you endure, except it's the grace of God. Yeah. So did you get a visual reference point? Continue, please.
Yes. So, you know, we went through a lot, and I was close with my father, and being Father's Day, Pastor Norman, and I know how it is to lose a father. But during that period of time, my dad also had a stroke. And then a year later, after Cole underwent treatment and did well and has conquered it, my father passed away. So there was a lot of things that were happening in my life that it just kind of comes and keeps reminding you that you can't really do things alone. And I always felt that when I was an attorney, I had to work really hard and I had to provide. I had to, it was just me. And I had to be the one, being a father, to be strong and never show weakness and all these things. And then I began to realize I couldn't do it alone. And through my faith and how it's grown, I realized that I don't have to do it alone. That He will be with me, that God will be there and provide and show me the way. And once I accepted that, then I felt I could kind of conquer anything with Him there and with me. And so I think sometimes the turning point is that you feel you're in control of everything, and that's what I have to do as a father, as a professional, as a coach to my boys, as a husband. You know, you have to always be in control, and yet you realize that God's in control. And when I found that out and really, 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 really realized it, that everything that was so precious to me could have been lost. Mm-hmm. That it wasn't about work. It wasn't about the material things, like you said. It's really about the things you love. And through that experience, then, it was important for me. I thought, well, I'm still a work in progress. I'm still trying to get better at everything, that I want to go out and try to help people, disciple people, have my sons understand and strengthen their faith as well. And I think that was what these series of events kind of taught me and continue to teach me things.
I mean, I you have two sons. So you know what? I'll tell you what we'll do. Drew and Cole, why don't you come on up here, see if Dad's telling the truth, okay? Because Dad, back in 2001 and now in 2018, he continues to be one of Hawaii's best attorneys. And you might have seen it in midweek or whatever, but things have changed because of the Heavenly Father. So athletic genes, fruit don't fall far from the tree. Pitcher, University of Hawaii, Hilo Vulcans, spiritual leader on the team. And he brought a third of the team to church, some of whom have now come to Christ. This is Drew Ichikawa. I wish I had that body. And this is Cole. Cole Ichikawa, as small as he is a fast sprinter, like his dad, quickness and speed, top level. Okay. So what makes up for his lack of size is incredible speed. Multi-sport athlete. Okay. Got to say the important things first, because it's Father's Day. Okay, because Father's Day, you know, I don't not to mean about you, but I don't go multi-subject academic scholar. Okay, that somehow doesn't have the same ring. Baseball player, Iolani football player, Iolani basketball player, Iolani hula dancer. That's right. And you're on the track team. And I heard you would be on the volleyball team, but there's no time. And you're in the honors program at Iolani. Okay, so I'm tired saying all of this. All right, having now a snapshot of this, you all may be seated, gentlemen. Not to be outdone, Grace doesn't like coming up on stage. She's just a beautiful woman, so she will have her stand here because she was stressing last night, thinking I would make her come up here. Grace, why don't you stand? And this is the woman who's come through cancer, has extended her faith to touch the lives of others. Kaimuki High School graduate. How has Dad changed? You first, you have the microphone. Dad was always Dad, but he's still the same successful father financially and professionally. How do you see the Heavenly Father's changed him? How can you tell?
Well, he was always there for me and my brother, whether it was through sports, school, and in our personal lives. But we never grew up in church. We never went to church as kids, and we kind of started going later in our lives. And it actually wasn't until high school, until he brought me to a grace group and met you. And I guess the best thing that God did for him is not only did he allow my dad to find him, but he also, I guess, helped him spread God to other people. And that's what he did for me and a bunch of other people that he helped help them in their lives. And it meant a lot to me and helped me and my brother kind of find our faith. And it's nice to see.
It's not a private little belief anymore. Because, yeah. You know, I made a spectacle of you when I spoke for Pastor Evan. You walked in as a baseball player. And as you tried to sneak out, I said, "Folks, that's Drew Ichikawa. You should support the Hilo Vulcan baseball program." And you've done what your dad's done here. You've shared Jesus, loved your neighbor. And it's amazing what, you know, I mean, the story of how God's given you favor there, not only athletically, but spiritually and now academically, is a story unfolding. And then there's little brother. By the way, he serves in our children's ministry over at our Ala Moana Hotel location. And you add that to everything else. All right, and we truly appreciate that. Well, how have you seen the Heavenly Father touch your earthly father?
Yeah, well, like Drew said, my dad's been there for all of us, for my brother, my mom, and my own experience, all of our experience. He's been the rock in our lives. And coming out of it, it was a joy to see him grow in his own faith and spread it as well. But you could tell that everything he did coming out of all of our experiences, he had a purpose behind it.
Huh.
And it touched my life, touched a lot of others as well. And I think that was the most cool thing to see.
So this is interesting. Obviously, you're all doing it because, you know, you're loving people. I see you bring people to the Lord, to church, and you don't do it ostentatiously. You're not doing it to try to get brownie points with God. It's just natural. I remember one point, there were three girls that came. One girl, you weren't even there. She came. I think she came because of Jesus, but I think it was because of you. He's a doting dad. He ain't perfect, is he?
No.
Just in case, because, you know, I mean, when I'm around Bobby, I feel like I'm around Jesus, but he's a flawed man, isn't he? Yeah, because he was an athlete. Nothing worse than having an all-star, all-state athlete as a father. Does he do the dad thing? Go to your games and maybe some practices?
Yes,
and all
he's always at my games.
All of them.
All of them.
Uh-huh. Drew, how's it been for you?
Yeah, almost all.
Almost. Is it too much, you think, sometimes?
No.
Hey, that's not what you said in the last service.
Yeah.
No. And I think the amazing thing is, what adjustment have you made in your time? Maybe let's go there, because we have more time in this service. You're still having the success, you're still having the notoriety, but you're living differently. What kind of adjustments have you made as a father, businessman, husband, and you travel? I mean, you broker a relationship between the country of Japan and us, and that's a whole other story, by the way. How do you do it, man? Because guys like me and my staff, we want to know.
I don't know if I have all the answers. Sometimes I just try to keep the priorities as best I can. And I know everyone has busy schedules and is no different. But, you know, I think I make time. God does come first and then family. And it's hard when you're making decisions between work, providing for the family, making sure that they have what I think I need to provide as far as financial stability. But yet, family's really, really important. It's a priority for me. And so what I try to do is think about what I'd feel like if I miss something, if I miss the game, if I miss the performance, if I just miss talking with them over dinner. And then my decisions come a little clearer. And so I won't go to that dinner meeting. I won't go to golf. I won't hang out with the guys or, you know, do other things that maybe would be what I would enjoy sometimes. But I'd prioritize it for the family. And even taking time to coach, which I never thought I would have time for, I made time for that ever since Drew was 6 years old and continued on until Cole was 12. And getting involved in their lives, and Grace was really great about allowing us as a family to be involved in sports, because it was a sacrifice for her as well, was really an important part for us. And I think having that relationship and being engaged as a father was really a blessing, because it's not enough to just, I think, provide for your family. Sometimes I feel like that's what we have to do as fathers, is just make sure they're okay. But then there's more to that in a relationship. It's, I think, being engaged, being there, watching them, maybe too much, participating, but also just kind of being a part of their lives. And for that, I every time I think about what I might miss, I make a decision about, okay, well, this is how I'm going to handle it then, so I won't miss it as much as possible.
Wow. Well, those are some gems on this Father's Day. And as I've come to know Bobby, I'm a better person, because I really do think he's a better father than I've been, than I've ever been. And the beautiful thing about a discipleship relationship is we learn from each other. You make decisions to engage from this, but you can't do everything, so you decide not to do this. And there's enormous pressure in your profession to do this and not do the right thing. I commend you greatly on this Father's Day, Bobby, for being a father and patterning your priorities after our Heavenly Father. You're a person of the Word, but I think what makes you stand out is you try very hard, by the grace of God, to live it. And we see the fruit not only from you, but from Grace and from Cole and from Drew, where people are coming to Jesus, not because of how great you preach, but how sweetly you live. And what a joy it is to know you. This is why we do what we do. This is the Ichikawa family to you. Happy Father's Day.
Thank you.
I remember going in, and I did not know the family. Actually, I knew Drew, because at that time I was a chaplain along with Tony with the UH football team, and there was just some athletic issues talking about coming out of injury that Artie Wilson felt like I could encourage him. And through that, I met Bobby, and then the story just kind of unfolded from there. Cole, just to see how God puts us all together, I mean, the CDC from Atlanta came down. It was that serious. So we needed a miracle. And so we prayed. They gave treatment. But in the room was a nurse who comes from our church, whose name was Heather. And I said, "Heather, what are you doing here?" She goes, "I work here. What are you doing here?" Which was interesting, because we didn't know each other. But now we're very good friends. And this Thursday, Bobby Ichikawa opens a new grace group, a small group where we process this message for life application at Kaka'ako Big City Diner, where in the group will be the founder of Big City Diner, Lane Moraoka, who is also an Iolani athlete. Derek Lowe, Coach June Jones' son, myself, I said, "Bobby, you're the leader. I'm supporting you." And the influence multiplies from there. You're here this morning and you don't know the Heavenly Father. You don't know. You can know Him by giving your life to Jesus. It's as simple as that. It's not living a perfect life. It's His righteousness. Jesus paid. He took our sin and the penalty for it on the cross. And all we need to do is surrender our lives to Him and follow Him. That's it. And the rest is a journey.